We'll get started in just a second here. Okay, well, let's get started here today. So we're getting ready for our NAPNA Inner Circle of Peak Performers meeting. If we have anybody who is one of our Inner Circle who is not in the airport or on a plane right now, let me know you're here, and we'll prep everybody a little bit for what we're going to do for the next couple of days here in Keystone, Colorado. But so if we have anybody who's an Inner Circle member, unmute yourself and let me know you're on the phone. Most everybody, including Toby, Milroy, and Bob, John, are on the plane. I think
Clara.
Just joined us here a minute. Yeah, who's this?
This is Clara. Clara Miner.
Clara! Hey, welcome, Clara. Are you going to be with us tomorrow?
No. That's why I'm
no. Okay. Well, that's unfortunate. But anyway.
No, I'm feeling sick, but I will unmute now.
Okay. Well, we'll miss you, but we're going to record most of it, so we'll have a pretty good opportunity for you to review it. But yeah, just to give everybody a little bit of an idea, we have our Peak Performer Inner Circle meeting tomorrow. It's going to be Thursday, Friday, and through the weekend. And on our mission for Thursday, Friday, is to show many, if not all, of our team have opportunities to do anywhere from 75,000 up to, I think the number we came up with one school was 450,000. But realistically, in most cases, 70, 75, 80, 100, 120, 130,000 extra cash in November, December. Because what we're finding is a lot of especially new peak performers members coming in either haven't created a very useful upgrade system. And so what we're doing is we're overlaying a Black Belt Club or overlaying a leadership program or in some cases overlaying a master club to make it all work. But one of the things that is coming out in the next member package that I think will be in December is a little special report I did on pricing. We'll also post it up on the website. But what I am finding across the board as I talk to now hundreds and hundreds of schools is so many people are one, under pricing where you should be. Two is setting yourself up for low retention, in other words, high dropouts by not structuring things appropriately. And number three is not having an appropriate renewal process and an appropriate upgrade system. And so what we're going to work with Peak Performers Inner Circle at one of the topics is going to be what I call renewal blitz. We'll try to get a little bit of an outline of that today. But the renewal blitz concept is this, is January 1st is always a marvelous time to have a price increase. And November, December is really the best time of the year to go through and renew all your suits. And what that special report we'll post up talks about is the fact that really, all of our schools at this point should have an entry-level enrollment with something to the effect of $300 to $500 initial down payment. What we do with our franchise schools is it's $400 to to register since you came in from blank, you know, demonstration. We give you $200 discount if you want to go ahead and enroll today. Therefore, it's just $200 today plus the first month. So $200 plus $247 is what we're going to go to at the beginning of the year. So $447 to enroll, and then $247 a month, and that's on a 12-month contract. But then the issue is, and we just looked at, we did a little training session in Sterling, Virginia, Washington, D.C., a couple of months ago. The school that Jeff Smith runs, and he'll be trying to join us here today, but the school that Jeff Smith runs, he's doing 87% of everyone who enrolls in the school is renewing into a higher level program within the first 2 months. And so really doing what I've preached for people to do for years, which is not thinking of it as two lessons and enroll, but thinking of it as 8 or 10 lessons, is the introductory process with the enrollment being at the second and the renewal being at the 8th or 10th. And what we're finding with so many of the what I'm working with is they don't have a very solid program with that. See, here's your rule of thumb, by the way, is take your total gross revenue, whatever it was this month, so I'll pick a number, let's say it's 30,000, and divide that by the number of students. And if you have a number, so let's say 30,000 with 150 students, is $200 a month per student. That's a pretty good ratio. Not at the upper end, but it's pretty good. On the other hand, if you do same number, 30,000 a month, and you have 300 active students, it means you're doing a pretty good job with activity, but your revenue per student is really low. So what we're looking at is structuring the enrollment process, down payment, the monthly payment, the upgrade process or the renewal process, the upgrade down payment, the upgrade price point, all so that we can get the average student to be worth $200, $225, $250, $275 a month or up. And I can't tell you how many schools I've talked to recently that have 150 students but they're grossing $10,000 a month, or they have 200 students and they're grossing $12,000 a month. And you know what they have is not a marketing problem, but they have a pricing and value problem that we need to go about fixing in order for them to effectively and truly ever make any kind of decent income. So anyway, let me take a deep breath and just reiterate what we're going to be covering extensively for all the people former in our circle who are on the call. On Thursday, Friday, is the mission is for everyone to add at least $100,000 in cash for November, December through a focused and effective, what I've termed, renewal blitz. In other words, going through your existing student body. And here's the way the numbers would work. If you have 100 students, and let's say you've never had a leadership program, and so now you can have 100 students, we expect, worst case, that you can hit in the range of 50% of those students. And best case, probably 75 or 80%. Again, the Sterling example of 87% is unusual on the high end, but that's, you know, a good number. But so if you had 100 people and you renewed just 50 of them, and of those you added 40 of them that were $100 bump in their monthly payment, so you've added $4,000 a month to your billing starting in January. And then you have 10 of them that did a one payment, in other words, a paid in full, for, let's take the number of $7,500. So for $7,500, now you've got $75,000 cash from just 10 of the renewals. Then you've got 40 renewals, and let's say that they're going to pay, let's make it a relatively low phone number, $500. So you've got 40 that pay $500 down. That's another $20,000. Now you're at $95,000. Plus, at a $100 bump in the monthly payment for each of them, starting in January, you've got a $4,000 bump in your billing starting right away. So that's the type of thing that we're going to be working through extensively. And, of course, we have a fairly limited time today, so I'm trying to rush through it pretty quickly to give everybody the you know, the idea. But let me pause there. Any questions on what I'm talking about there, or how that works, or how that might apply to your particular situation? If you do, just unmute yourself and then get star six to become live, and then we'll be happy to answer any questions on that. So no questions? Okay. Well, let's move on then. On my one-on-one calls with members, and again, I volunteer to do a call with absolutely everybody, and it is rather a challenge because obviously we're trying to schedule a lot of people. Now, the biggest challenge, frankly, has been the problem of phone tag with Bob Dunn at the office, and what we really need to do is figure out a good way to get everybody scheduled for that first call. And of course, it's in my schedule. We're doing the Inner Circle Being Informed meetings and Black Belt retreats, and I'm doing a couple of days of training with our Mile High Karate staff, and then have a day or two available. Then I'm doing a seminar in Atlanta. So the time slots are pretty limited, but what I would suggest everybody do is call the office. Bob's extension is 202. He's scheduling appointments for me. If you don't get hold of him, leave him your cell phone number and try texting him, and he can text you back and we can schedule an appointment. The other thing you can do is you can email me, StephenOliver@MileHighKarate.com, or email Bob Dunn at bdunn, D-U-N-N-E, at nava.com. And you can email, we can schedule a time to talk. If you haven't registered for that time yet, again, I would remind you to go to nava.com/private coaching session. And there seems to be a bit of a glitch on the system, so make sure that when you do it, that you use all lowercase. So lowercase privatecoachingsession.com. There's a digital copy of my book, and there's a little hour and a half video that was taken from one of our recent seminars. So for everybody, go there first. There's a click to talk icon that takes you directly to Bob Dunn, which probably he won't be there until Monday again. With our training sessions, there's the office phone number and his extension, again, which is 202, or email him directly or email me directly, and we can bounce back and forth appointment time, so we can figure out a time that's available to go from there.
Is this so that we can get our private coaching with you while we're there in Colorado? Or do we set that up after we get there?
Well, on the Peak Performer Inner Circle schedule, that'll always be scheduled out several months in advance.
No, I'm talking about, you said that when we're at Keystone, we can each talk to you. When do we schedule that?
No, at Keystone, we're going to be doing all day Thursday, all day Friday, and then through the weekend.
No one-on-one.
Well, yeah, a lot of one-on-one. We're going to get plenty of time to do all of that during the weekend. I mean, it's going to be very extensive. But no, you don't need to try to connect with Bob. Bob's going to be out here, by the way. So we'll have Bob Dunn, Toby Milroy, Jeff Smith, and most of the Inner Circle, a pretty good chunk of the New Peak performers, and pretty good chunk of the Mile High Karate franchise school owners as well.
Okay.
So, yeah, you don't have to worry about that for this weekend.
Okay.
Okay. Well, good. I'm talking fast and trying to get a bunch of stuff in here today, and obviously trying to get ready for our fabulous retreat. But let me get a couple of key concepts. I want everybody to write this down and really anchor it in. What most of the industry thinks is the hardest time of the year to do business is November and December. And my experience has been now for almost 30 years, and I got this from Jeff Smith, by the way, but my experience has been for almost 30 years now is that December is always our best cash month of the year. Our second best cash month of the year is November. And oftentimes, from November 1st to about December 20th, we'll do more cash than perhaps the first 6 months of the year. And I want everybody to anchor that in, because there's two things that you want to do here, which is Jeff Smith's concept to me, which, you know, I took to heart and ran with it, obviously, was that take whatever you think is going to be your worst month of the year and figure out how to make that your best month of the year. And what I have found universally is that November and December is a difficult time, not impossible, but a difficult time to generate an awful lot of students through advertising. And part of the reason for that is everyone from Target to Neiman Marcus to Apple are spending the bulk of their marketing budget in November, December. The bulk of their revenue happens in November, December. So you're fighting a headway or a big headwind if you're trying to advertise in, you know, at the low end, something like Valpak or Money Mailer or your daily newspaper or on TV, because all of the big advertisers are spending a bulk of their income doing that. However, at the same time, what you find is, especially in the kids market, but all across, is November and December is a time when people get used to spending a lot of money. And we have found, and again, from time to time, we've had November or December be a record month from a standpoint of enrollment, but it's not from being out there in broadcast media trying to compete with everybody. But what we have found almost universally is that November, December can be our best cash month. It's a good time when people are willing to do big campaigns, make decisions, pay paid in full programs. All of those things, it's marvelous time in the holidays. And my conclusion, I don't have any scientific validation for why it is, I just know it in fact works, is my conclusion has been is that it's a time when people are willing to spend money because they're in the habit of spending money. And so for the kids market, it's a marvelous time that a parent can justify putting their child in leadership and giving them a Christmas card and maybe a new uniform under the... Okay, somehow I got dropped there. I apologize, but probably in mid-sentence. But what I was saying is it's a time when, for renewals especially, when parents for kids and for adults for themselves are kind of immune to worrying about whipping out the credit card and spending money. And it's a time when our historic results has been November, December can be our all-time record cash months if done properly. So I want you to anchor in, number one, is even though from Thanksgiving to Christmas people have a lot of things that get in the way of regular class attendance, and oftentimes on intro and enrollment you get the excuse of, well, we'll get started when things settle down after the first of the year, it is a time when you can really blitz through your student base and get a bunch of renewals. And then going back to what I said, we were finding, for whatever reason, an awful lot of members, and obviously non-members are coming in, still don't have their program structured in such a way that it maximizes student retention and maximizes their ability to bring in the appropriate amount of revenue. And so what you really should have is you should have a down payment, then a monthly payment on a 6 to 12 month enrollment. Then you should have, in the first couple months, a renewal process where you add a next level. And my rule of thumb on this is that you can have a program where it bumps their monthly payment by about 50% and a program where you can bump their monthly payment by about double. And we've also found that you can have a higher level program, and I mean something like $6.97 or $9.97 a month, with the right amount of value created, really moves it up from there. So at what you're doing, the question is do you have a solid renewal process in the first couple of weeks, and do you in fact have a system that will move them up through a higher level program and give them an opportunity to have a higher value program at a higher price point? So you want to look at that. And again, what we recommend is you enroll them for 6 months or a year. I like a year better. Have a down payment plus a monthly payment. I like it to be $400 or $500 to enroll, a couple hundred dollars a month. But then over the first couple of months, you're really working on having a process where you prep them for committing to Black Belt and beyond, and have a Black Belt club which renews them to Black Belt, and have a leadership program that's a notch above that. With Black Belt Club, you can do a 50% bump in their monthly payments and have that work out pretty well in most cases. With leadership, you could double their payments. And you can also have something that puts you into the ballpark of a $7.97 or a $9.97 a month program, but it's got to be really an overlaid value added. And the principle really is you'll have 20% of your student body at any one time that are always willing to do what the highest value thing is that you offer. If you create the outline for them and have the value perceived to be very high. So there's always room at the top for those who have the ability to pay that'll do something at a much higher level. So again, let's pause. Any questions on this? Is this making sense to everyone? I imagine an awful lot of people listening to this, but it seems kind of outrageous when we talk about the price points. But the reality of it is that we're finding time and time again, if you're not at a point where your average revenue per student is around $200 or more, that you're...
Well, I'm wondering, can you use this with little kids like 4, 5, 6 years old?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
And how do you do that? I'm impressed.
Let's stay with Carol's question there. With the little kids, and hang on just a second, we'll go to your question. But with the little kids, 4, 5, and 6, they're actually the easier ones. And, somehow, I don't know, martial arts schools started thinking that, kids are, need to be priced low, and that the younger kids are somehow need to be cheaper. But all you have to do is look at the trends of people putting, their 3-year-old into, expensive private daycare. Hell, my 3-year-old is in an expensive private school. And so what happens is parents, if they perceive that what you're doing is purely recreational, so you're going to teach my 3-year-old how to kick and punch and jump under the down and yell, "Hi, y'all," like Kung Fu Panda. Well, that is only worth $75 a month for one time a week to entertain the kids. But if you really show them that you're teaching goal setting and life skills and confidence and discipline, and if you can show them by example, 7, 8, 9, and 10-year-olds that start when they're 3, 4, or 5, who exhibit all the qualities that you're explaining that you're developing, Well, now you're talking about something that's priceless. And so all the things that we're providing for members, the Mad Chat lessons, the Gold Team reports, all of that, those are our key components of creating a perception of much higher value. And again, it's where the industry has gone ass backwards in the, you know, in the NMA trends and so forth. Is see what you don't want to do is turn your school into a gymnasium. What you want to do is you want to be a school, and you don't want to get focused on the technical aspects of your particular art. You want to be focused on what their ideal outcomes are. And the ideal outcome for a parent for their child and the outcome for an adult for themselves really are the same. The only difference from a marketing standpoint is whether an adult is willing to articulate it for themselves or whether that's the primary thing that an advertisement attracts. In other words, if I'm a 38-year-old mom trying to lose the last 10 pounds of baby fat, perhaps I'm an ad that shows me the quickening to lose 10 pounds, but I stay because of the confidence, the discipline, and the focus on personal development. If I'm a parent of a 5-year-old, if you're showing me this is entertaining for my child to jump up and down and kick and punch, you know, act like a panda, I'm happy to do it, but I'm not very committed. But show me this is a way to really create a high level of focus. It's a whole different thing. But anyway, there was another question there after Carol. So go ahead.
No, Master Oliver, it was just me. I was going to say basically the same thing you said, that we found that the youngest ones are the easiest ones to convert.
Yeah. Who is this?
It's Robert Blum.
Oh, Robert. Sounded like your voice, but I wasn't sure there. Hey, Robert, let's so expand on that. You found the younger ones are the easiest one to convert, which is counterintuitive for most people. Explain why. What's your experience with the parents, and tell them right now. I know I'm trying to leverage up your prices, but tell them right now at what price point you're converting them to and what level of commitment.
Leadership's $259 a month in our school right now, and it's a 3-year commitment.
Okay. And you're doing that with kids how young?
The youngest going into leadership's 5. We don't have anybody younger than that with eligible for a leadership program.
Okay. So you have 5-year-olds going into leadership at $259 a month, committing to 3 years. Is there a down payment?
$399.
And, Carol, you're still there. Does that surprise you?
Wow.
I'll take it by the wow that that's a yes.
Oh, that sounds great. I mean, I still don't know how you do it exactly, but...
Well,
but
you're going
you
to be...
Can do it.
You're going to be here the next couple of days, so you're going to get it A to Z.
Right.
So, you know, for the purposes of everyone else... you know, the joke among the EFC board for years was, you know, we would talk offline and I would tell them about the family they wrote me a check for $20,000 or $25,000 or, you know, the renewal I did that was, you know, $499 a month or whatever. And to this day, you could ask Steve LaValle or Keith Hafner or Dave Kovar or Tim Kovar or any of those guys. And the, you know, standing joke became what my answer always was. And my answer was, they would say, well, how do you get somebody to write you a check for $25,000? And my answer was, well, you have to ask. and you know, it sounds like a joke, but see, that's what most people are hesitant to do, is they're hesitant to ask expectantly, ask persuasively, having made the case that it's the best thing for the student, right? And Robert, what would you add to that?
Well, I also think it all depends on the presentation, too. I mean, you know, like you said earlier, if you're teaching karate, nobody's going to pay you that kind of money. You know, if you're teaching leadership of life skills, if it's, you know, recognizable in every class, if you can show what your leadership program has done, I mean, we've got kids that have gone through the leadership program now and graduated high school all with full-ride scholarships to college. You know, you can show a parent that kind of detail and tell them what the leadership program can do for their child. It makes it a no-brainer decision. You know, more often than not, what I hear from a parent is, I hear, well, you know, this is perfect. This is exactly what we want our child to end up becoming with their life. And we just weren't really sure how to go about training them to be that way. You seem to have all bases covered.
Yeah. Well, and an example would be for everybody. We put up last month because I think what we did is we ran the audio of me describing it, but didn't have the video. We put the video up online of the infomercial that I've used for quite a few years for our leadership and master club program. And in it, you hear me describing on tape exactly what the two programs are. Now, you know, my background is kind of an Americanized Taekwondo, but you don't hear me at all in the video ever talking about Taekwondo. You hear me talking about character development. You hear me talking about teamwork. You hear me talking about public speaking. You hear me talking about high-level academic achievement. That's what sells it. So, Robert, give us your description of your leadership program.
I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, we go through, you know, the high-level learning. We do public speaking skills as well. All of the, you know, interpersonal skills that you'll need. You know, right now where we are, it's a really rough job market. Tends to be something that we've kind of geared our conversation towards, you know, giving the kids the upper hand as they get a little older. And, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, if you're a parent, and I know most of the people on the line probably are, and you just got to think of all the things that you would want for your own child and what kind of successes you'd want your own child to have in life. And it really translates over very well.
Yeah, yeah. And again, the hardest thing that we all miss as practitioners, I mean, I imagine there's no one on the phone that hasn't trained in martial arts for years and that really loves their thing, whatever it might be, whether it's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu or Taekwondo or Shotokan or Kung Fu, whatever it might be. But we've got to remember that for the uninitiated, that's not what they're interested in. And for a student, truthfully, it's not the learning how to do a kick, a knee, an elbow, a form, or point sparring. It's not ultimately that's what they're most interested in. What they're most interested in is the mental and emotional well-being that they develop by learning with a quality teacher who becomes a mentor and learning the mental skills that go with the practice. And again, I mean, never underestimate the environment that we provide. A concerned and focused teacher who knows when to pat him on the back, knows when to kick him in the butt, a focused opportunity to develop at the fullest level, a classroom environment of other like-minded people. You know, I tell parents all the time, you know, is peer pressure good or bad? Well, the answer is depends on who the peers are. And if we have a student in our classroom, we're creating a positive peer group. And so then it's a very useful thing. And, I mean, what's a parent willing to pay just for having their child indoctrinated into a positive peer group where everybody is looking to achieve at their highest level and all of them are looking to be healthy and focused on a high level of academic achievement? But anyway, Robert, back to you.
Yes, sir.
So give everybody a little bit of an idea here. We did a little interview with you. I don't think it's come out in the member materials yet. But yeah, your background in your school, you inherited from your school from your dad. When you started working with peak performers, you were, what, about 7,000 a month. Is that right?
Not even. We took the school over with 35 students doing $4,000 a month, if that.
Okay. So when you came into peak performers, is that what the school was doing?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What's your last couple months look like?
Last 3 months, we've signed 72 students, and grosses have been 37, 36, and this past month was 34.5.
Yeah, yeah. And frankly, you're on track to double because your volume of people is so high. Plus, your old students are worth you know, less than half of what your new students are worth. We figured your average student in the last 6 months, what's the average revenue per month?
The average of the current, like the newer people?
Yeah.
Average is like $214,
$215. Yeah, yeah. And so... So once you're at 250 students, you'll be in the mid-50s.
Yeah, that's about right, sir.
Yeah. And what kind of active are you at now?
225.
225. Fabulous. So, and Robert, you know, I've talked to a number of members who, you know, feel like moving into peak performers is a bit of a stretch. And, you know, our structure with NAPNA is now, as you well know, we have maximum impact, which is kind of like the basic orientation program. And peak performers is like our black belt club. So for all the schools that really want to get to a high level of performance, and then their circle is our black belt class. And as you've seen recently, we're going to have an advanced black belt class before long, because we're getting a lot of million-dollar year schools in that circle, and I'm guessing you're one of them next year. Is that a fair assessment, Robert?
Yes, sir.
So we're going to move you from, you know, being a first-degree black belt to a third-degree black belt and running your school. What would you tell somebody who really felt like it was a stretch for them to move into and be working with deep performers? What's the value of the things that we're going to be doing tomorrow and the next day, and the value of the calls that we do and the other pieces of it?
Well, I mean, the program as a whole, right, is incredible. The private coaching sessions with either yourself or Toby, depending on, you know, who they get to work with, that time is always invaluable. Every time we get on the phone with each other for 20 minutes, you know, 30 minutes at a clip, I come away with a million ideas. The live meetings, to be able to be with guys that are focused on their success and their growth and being innovative, you know, there's no copycats in this room. It's all guys that are looking to push themselves to the next limit and continue their own growth. It's mind-blowing after one of these meetings. You know, I always tell the story. I went home from my first peak performers meeting with a list of 78 things to do. And, you know, I think that right there is the key. Most guys would have done none of them or one or two. And that's, you know, that's just it. You have to take immediate action, and you have to be willing to work really hard. I mean, our first 2 years, I made no money, you know. I lived off of credit cards. We charged the peak performers fees because we didn't have it. And, you know, and I was going to save this for this weekend, but I'll tell you now because we're on the phone. I just bought a brand new $500,000 home in New York because of your help and guidance and what you've been able to do for my business. And I've been able to put my family in a better position.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, congratulations on the new home.
Thank you.
When have you moved in yet, or when do you move in?
I'll be moving in when I get back. We're actually moving out of our old house Friday, so my wife's doing it by herself, unfortunately. But, you know, we'll be moving in when I get home.
Fabulous, fabulous. Well, congratulations.
Thank
congratulations.
You,
you know, the first step in, as you know, evaluating anybody, and I always put it kind of gently. I tell people we have the no assholes rule, but it's very important because we want to have a lot of people who are high performers or potentially high performers in the room when we have the meeting. And we certainly want to have everybody who's there to be a breath of fresh air, who's in the learning curve. And, you know, as you well know, Robert, I mean, I have plenty of things on my plate. I don't want to ever spend 30 minutes on the phone arguing with somebody. You know, I'd much rather give them good advice. And the first step in that is for us to do the little personal evaluation. And some people that I'm doing the evaluation, we're finding that peak performers may not be, you know, relevant for them. A few we're finding that they really should be, you know, able to accelerate into the black belt class, like Carol here. Carol, who's on the phone, has been, you know, has been around the industry forever between a couple of locations, who's doing, if you don't mind me sharing, Carol, 60,000, 70,000 a month. But there's a lot of places where, you know, the income isn't maximized. And frankly, in both schools, they should be double or triple the revenue. and right. most of it's a philosophical premise and structure, especially on the Krav Maga side. So we do find an awful lot of people get brainwashed into thinking that adult Krav, cardio kickboxing, somehow that's different, and end up with operating it like a gym and losing perspective on retention and lose perspective on the ability to upgrade those programs. And, you know, the schools that are million-dollar-a-year schools are the ones that are maximizing the results. And people who are operating like a gym, you know, you occasionally see one that's highly profitable, but it's the 70,000-square-foot guy who is spending a bunch of money on TV advertising, pouring in 150 people a month. But those are also programs where you can put 20 people in a month and run a $100,000 facility. Robert, for somebody who hasn't taken the time to do the little 30-minute evaluation with me yet, what would you tell them? Why should they be wanting to do it or not wanting to do that?
Well, I think at the very least, you're not, you know, it doesn't cost you anything. You're not losing anything. And even if it's not for you, you walk away with some good ideas on how you can help your school.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly right. When you were new into this thing, is I'm sure that price point, marketing activities, you know, several other things that we were telling you to do didn't seem realistic. What were some of the things that when you first heard them, you went, well, wow, that would never work, or I can't do it?
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. There wasn't a lot of that. I was so pissed, broke, and unhappy that I basically said, we're going to go home and try everything once. What could it hurt?
Right.
I know price point, a little bit of resistance. We did the ladder climb kind of thing instead of going right to the 177 price point that you told me I should have been at. You know, we did 100, we did 125, we did 150. we kind of crawled up that ladder. But, you know, otherwise, everything else was good.
When you came in, what were you charging for a new enrollment?
$65 a month.
Okay. What are you charging now?
We just raised our prices again, the 197.
Okay. And how much of a down payment?
$299.
Okay. And is that a 12-month enrollment?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And just so everybody knows, I mean, where you're at, Fishkill, New York, is really kind of Rust Belt, what, an hour from New York City, but you ended up... Go ahead.
We're about an hour and a half from Manhattan.
Yeah.
Average household income is about $70,000.
Yeah. But the job market has been really bleak. Is that a fair
thing? Oh, yeah. And we've lost so many jobs. I mean, we're an IBM area. We have two IBM plants within 2 miles in each direction of my school that they've just been on a layoff spree in the last, you know, the last 4 or 5 years. And I think it's important to also let everyone know that with all that being said, there's also 17 martial arts schools within a 10-mile radius of my school.
Yeah, yeah. Well, at one time...
What's your last name?
It's Blum, B-L-U-M.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and you know, at one time, my close friend, our mutual friend, Don Sutherton, had a bunch of schools up in that area. He's actually Robert back in the Denver area. You'll probably see him this weekend.
Well, that was actually my first instructor, so that's where I started.
Yeah. And probably about half of those schools around you started with them. So you've got a lot of competition up in that area. And you know, what's typical is school owners who hear about somebody else doing well is they're trying to figure out what their excuse is. And they say, well, I have a lot of schools in my area. Or, you know, they probably don't have that many schools. Or they say, well, you know, our economy is really bad. A lot of people are unemployed or the job market's really bad. Or they say, you know, that person must have just started with money, or they must know more than I do. And the money and the knowing more is, of course, true once you get to a strong level of volume. But Robert, in your case, I mean, you didn't go into the school well capitalized, as you just said. You were living hand to mouth on credit cards, and by the way, me too. When I opened, and nor did you really have any particular knowledge of martial arts school operations until we started providing it for you. Are those very fair statements to make?
Absolutely, yes, sir.
So, what other advice would you give somebody who's, you know, more or less in the situation you were at, or maybe a couple of notches above, to make the next step?
I think the big thing is like I said before, you have to take massive action. You know, you're only going to go one or two ways right now. Even if you stay exactly where you are, you're going to lose ground. With the way the economy is changing and it's continuing to get worse, we still haven't seen a turn for the better. You know, you're not going to stay the same. You're always going to slip and lose, you know? So it's either slip and continue to fall backwards and let somebody else jump in and take that spot that you could be yours, or, you know, do something about it.
Yeah. And what would be the first, I mean, obviously the first step is to get a good teacher and get a good peer group.
Absolutely, and get a good game plan put together.
Yeah. So let's let some people ask you some questions. Anybody have any questions for Robert here?
If you were talking about getting a good staff, like what was, how did you proceed? What was your first kind of action on that?
Master Oliver, we had this conversation a million times. You know, I had a few kids that worked for me. Since the school has grown at such an enormous pace, I have in turn fired two sets of staff over the last 4 years till I found the right group. I fired four program directors. Now I have the right one. She's phenomenal. I mean, she's doing 25 students a month, every month at this point, where, you know, I don't even have to really step foot in my school, even though I do because I want to be there. You know, instructor-wise, I ran the floor for the first two and a half years consistent, you know, where I started hand-picking people underneath me to, you know, train and grow. And then about a year ago, Master Oliver and I had a whole other conversation because the school was exploding at a rate where I didn't have enough staff. And I'm sure, you know, if you do a call with him, he could probably also tell you a little bit about how he does his he does like a staff boot camp to start learning how to train new people, which was really helpful for me too. It was an intensive program over the summer that we did a few weeks with. And it's pretty neat because you whittle the dead wood out real fast. You know, and the one thing with staff too, I think this is important, you know, they don't have to be the best martial artist in the world. You know, technique can be developed over time. They do have to have the personality, and they do have to be able to interact with the parents, and they have to be smart enough to be able to learn what you're trying to teach them.
Yeah, now, don't miss that last point. I've always, you know, I picked up from somebody, but, you know, the old line is you can't teach a pig to sting, waste your time, irritates the pig. And just because somebody is athletic doesn't mean that they're capable of learning increasingly more sophisticated systems for marketing and sales. And frankly, doesn't mean that they're interested in learning those things. If they're not interested, you ultimately have a serious problem on your hands. You want them to be both interested in learning those things and willing to and capable of learning those things.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
I have a question for Robert.
Yeah, go ahead, ma'am.
This is Clara. I'm wondering, when you said you went from 35 students up to whatever number you've got now, what were the most powerful marketing strategies you used to get new people in?
You know, I get asked that a lot. I get asked that by friends of mine. I get asked that in some of the groups that we're in. I'm going to be honest with you, there isn't any one particular thing. If you looked at my marketing plan for any given month, we do probably 30 to 35 different marketing activities a month. You know, for me, it's not about a silver bullet. It's not about having 15 people sign off a proposal for one thing. If I can get one or two from everything I do that month, I'm happy with it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and it's the classic J. Abraham marketing Parthenon. And, you know, what the way that Jay describes it, which I agree, is if you have one thing, and I can give you a list of 20 different things that over the years I've had a home run with. So, you know, at one end of the spectrum, highly produced, lots of time on infomercial, driving them to a phone call, driving them to an intro. At the other end, community outreach activities with elementary schools. But I can run you through a list of things that we've been able to do, the one thing, and generate 100, 150, 200 enrollments. But the problem is always is those things tend to be a little inconsistent, and or there will be a point at which it just doesn't work at all and you have all your eggs in one basket. The Parthenon effect, what it is that you're constantly doing 10, 15, 20 different things. And the simplistic answer sometimes is, you know, now having talked to several hundred school owners, a lot of them are telling me, well, I'm doing these five things and I'm getting 7 enrollments a month. And sometimes it's not sarcastic, but it's like, well, if you're doing 5 things, getting 7 enrollments a month, what would happen if you did 15 things? Would you, in fact, get 21 enrollments a month? And in most cases, the answer is yes. So if you're passing out flyers and you're doing door hangers and you're doing a little demo and you're doing a little open house and you're doing a table out in front of the school with a TV ready, what would happen if you just did 5 more things? And I'll say in Robert's case, Robert, correct me if I'm wrong, is he gets good results online from pay-per-click and gets good results online from search engine optimization and gets good results from community fairs and events and so forth, gets good results from a variety of referral generating activities. But in truth, if you looked at the results from any one of those things, in most months, it's not all that interesting. But if you look at the combination of all those things and the synergy that comes with all those things, you get down to, what was it, Robert, 70-some enrollments in the last 3 months?
72 in the last 3 months. We've done 135 enrollments in the last 7.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and Robert, is there any one thing that accounted for more than 20% of those?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. So there's the thing is, you absolutely have to have a ton of printed guest passes, and every new student you enroll, you give them 5 and question them down for who they go to soccer or daycare with, and who their best friend is schools, and give them some guest passes. But that's going to get a trickle. And you absolutely want to do the 3-month pass, the 1-month pass that you give to all the elementary schools for their silent auction. And then when it gets to trickle, and when there's a new martial arts movie, you want to be set up and do all the things that we did with. We have quite a bit of background noise there now. So if you guys have background noise, maybe you can just mute yourself out and start 6.
I'm sorry, Master Oliver. It's probably me. I'm in the airport catching a shuttle.
Oh, well, then we won't worry about it. So don't mute yourself, Robert. We're utilizing you as the example. And I'm sitting here at Discount Tire because we had a blizzard this morning, and I've got a BMW with racing tires rather than snow tires sliding around. So weather should be nice and clear by the time you get here. Don't worry about it, Robert. It is the opening weekend for ski season, though, so that'll be fun. But anyway, other questions for Robert about some of this stuff? No? Well, I'll remind everybody real quickly to go to napa.com/private coaching session and watch the little video and read the book and schedule a time with Bob for that time. Our biggest problem, frankly, is that we have about 100 people who have registered there that Bob's playing phone tag. And so I will remind you, if you call the office, hit extension 202, that's Bob's extension. If you get his voicemail, leave your cell phone number, and that way we can text back and forth or something, or email him or me directly, and we'll put it in the appointment. Right now, it's 2 or 3 weeks out, just because it's so busy. But, you know, I think in almost all cases, people are finding that call or a couple calls by themselves are extremely useful. In some cases, they're finding they're a good fit to move up into peak performers and really start getting their school going. And Robert, who would be a bad fit for peak performers? Who should not be, you know, a good candidate in your mind?
In my opinion, it would be somebody who's not willing to put the work or the time in, you know, or they're going to fight you tooth and nail and everything that you suggest to them. I just think at that point, it's not worth your time and effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I would say if somebody's running a small school and they're happy to stay where they're at, and you made a good point, in this kind of economy, staying at the same level of activity systems and knowledge that you're at right now ensures you're going to slide backwards. But if somebody's running a part-time school, you know, and wants to stay there, the level of what we're going to be doing would not be a good fit. Or frankly, you know, I talked to a few people who are ironically broke and have been in the industry 30 years and think they know everything. And so, you know what I'm saying? You've been doing this for 30 years, and you think you know everything there is to know, but you're school grossing $25,000 a month and you're netting $7,000 and you should be doing $50,000 and netting $30,000. I mean, you're just not a very good fit for this. I talked to a few people who, you know, and I explained to them, look, really, you know, our mission is to have your net income be what your current gross is with very little additional effort, but they just, you know, they somehow think they know everything and are unwilling to get out of their own way. But let's go back to a couple things real quick. Robert, from the standpoint of price point, I again find over and over and over the schools that I talk to are really undervaluing themselves, don't have a renewal system in place, don't have the upgrade in place. What would you tell people about how to think about that from your own results?
Well, I mean, I think the best way it was explained to me was, you know, for what we're doing, and we're professionals, at least in the mind, right? I mean, I have 27 years of training, and I didn't sacrifice that time of my life to learn what I've learned, you know, to be treated as, you know, or not considered a professional at what I do. Professional people, and you seek your lawyers and your doctors, and, you know, I mean, when I go to the doctor, my $20 copay, my office visit's $80, and they see me for an hour. It's kind of hard for me not to say that I'm not worth at least that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think where a lot of people miss the boat is they forget about the outcomes that we get for students, and they put themselves in the category of we're just teaching a physical activity. And, you know, I've heard quite a few people recently who, yeah, we got some interesting noise there, but who have said to me, well, you know, it's very, I forget the word they use, but basically it's crazy for me to compare ourselves to Harvard. You know, that we're not an academic institution, that we're an athletic activity. And, you know, and to me, their reaction is crazy. Because if you look at the outcome that we have for our average black belt, whether they be 9 or they be 50, is I believe the outcome we have is more powerful than a private high school or a private college. And it may not lead to a medical degree, but the, you know, 90% of success in life doesn't have to do with academic foundation. It has to do with mental attitude, the ability to focus, the ability to have confidence, the ability to be sure of yourself, and the ability to implement. And, I mean, all you have to do is look at the biography of Steve Jobs, which, you know, most of the world bought in the last week. Most people haven't read. I'm about two-thirds into it. But if you look at him, or if you look at Bill Gates, both of whom were pretty early college dropouts. You know, in Gates' case, or in Jobs' case, he had, I think, exactly one semester of formal college. In Gates' case, he put Harvard on hold to go found Microsoft and just never went back. But the first secret, and obviously they were born with high IQ and some other advantages for the first day because they just had the unshakable belief system in themselves that they could really do something. And that doesn't come from academics. That comes from a variety of sources, but we are one of the best sources to give that to a student. But anyway, so we're going to have to wrap pretty quick, but does anybody else have any other questions for me or for Robert here? No? Robert, what last time you missed our last meeting in Denver? Because if I remember, you were on a cruise in the Bermuda Triangle, which I somehow think is mentally suspect.
First vacation I've been able to take with my wife in 10 years.
Really?
Okay. So the first vacation in 10 years, you go on a cruise in the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, why not?
Okay. Obviously, it worked out well. And you got a chance to stop by Sean Harvey's school as well, isn't that right?
I did, sir.
And we've talked a little bit with everybody about just expectations. And Sean's running the cardio kickboxing program now at $297 a month with an upgrade to $497, getting ready to launch a $997 a month upgrade. And give everybody just a thought about whether adults in the adult market are willing to pay the kind of tuition we're talking about if you develop the program right.
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, we've started our own kickboxing program about 5 months ago. I have 100 women in the program. Our entry is a little lower. It's 180. And we just got our upgrade program put together, so we'll be launching that. And the upgrade program for us is going to be $269, but we're not seeing any blowback at all.
Yeah, now let's anchor in those numbers. 100 women at $180 a month with an upgrade, what did you say, at $269?
Yes, sir.
And again, you know, I've talked to a lot of people who have big numbers, but they're doing a, you know, $10 session punch card for $79 a month unlimited or $99 a month unlimited. And that's just a sure way to be broke forever. I mean, you know, being financially successful in this field is not about volume. Is volume is useful, again, 72 enrollments in 90 days or 100, whatever you said, Robert, 127 or 35 in 6 months. All that's useful. But if you're not getting good revenue per student, it's all for naught. And with the kind of volume you're doing now, Robert, you're clearly going to be popping in the $60,000 a month range in the first quarter. And my guess is $1 million school in 2012.
That would be the goal, sir.
Yeah. Well, we'll get all the pieces together this weekend. So I keep saying weekend, but tomorrow and Friday. So when do you get into to Denver?
I'm actually in a shuttle on my way there now.
Oh, are you really? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay, fabulous. I think Toby and Bob get in about 1:30. And we're going to actually get started tomorrow morning. But I'm told the weather is supposed to be nice for the rest of the weekend. We've had
It seems fine here now. I know John Metcalf left about an hour ago, and I know Mike Pace should be in a few hours.
Beautiful. And again, anybody who's skeptical about peak performers, Inner Circle, and of course, Inner Circle is the black belt level. So, you know, our threshold to get into that level now is around $500,000 a year. But anybody who's skeptical, you know, I'm sure Robert wouldn't mind answering any questions you have, or Mike Pace, or Jonathan Metcalf, or Sean Harvey. I know Sean's not going to be here this weekend. Or Eric and Hai Nguyen, Eric Williams, or any of the long list. I'm sure there's a lot of people would be happy to answer your questions about that. And for new peak performers who's going to be here tomorrow, you know, make sure you spend some time asking these guys, you know, all of the questions, but mostly just get over your own hesitation of implementation. That's the biggest thing. Well, good. What I would leave everybody with is a reminder that what we're going to be working on the next 2 days in Peak Performance Inner Circle is, in part, renewal blitz for November, December to do, you know, Robert, I think you could do at least 250,000. But in most people's case, to do a $75,000 to $120,000, $150,000 in the next 6 weeks. And the first thing to remember is that you should have at least a couple levels of upgrades. And in all likelihood, what the market will bear is probably 50 or 100% more than you think it will. And you do have to get good at the presentation. And I would clearly recommend that everybody go back to your member site and go through that infomercial for the upgrade that's up there. Because you do have me doing the explanation of what it's all about and walking you through the whole thing. And you're welcome to, you know, borrow liberally the language that I'm using there to implement. And also take note that an awful lot of it is built around social proof. So it's very useful if you have a lot of venturing to black belts. A couple things that we do a lot of is we do what martial arts has done for me essays that we then make copies of and distribute to all of the other students. And we also are doing just a ton of now, hold the little flip cam or the iPhone up in their face and get 2 or 3 minute testimonials, and then posting them up to YouTube, which is marvelous for search engine optimization, but also then editing all the good ones together and giving it to all the new students on DVD or on CD. Another trick is to go through all your black belts. Don't prep them on this, by the way. Just kind of hijack them and say, we'd like to ask a few questions about what your martial arts training has done for you. And then get their description of what they've accomplished with just a few probing questions, not leading questions. But another trick is, once you have that, burn it on CD or burn it on DVD, send it out to get transcribed. And then with just a minor cleanup, you can use that as a handout. And again, don't clean up their language. Don't clean up their grammar. Don't rephrase what they said. But an awful lot of the handouts that we use are, for instance, I described it on video, and we sent the video out to be transcribed, and now the transcription can become the script that the school owners can use. The transcription can also be the handout. A Q&A with Master Oliver on the leadership program becomes the handout that we give to the students. The transcript of the testimonials can become a handout or a series of handouts that we give to people in conjunction with the little essays. And the little videos can be, again, a series of uploads to YouTube for search engine optimization. They can also be edited together. And again, you know, nowadays you don't have to have a massive production for some of this. You can just edit together a bunch of testimonials and hand it out. And the less articulate some of the people are, is the more real it makes them. You don't want them to look like Brad Pitt, scripted. You want them to look like the next-door neighbors who are talking about how much they accomplished from your program. Anyway, if there's any last questions, we'll answer them. And otherwise, Robert, I look forward to seeing you and all the rest of our crew tonight.
Yes, sir, absolutely.
I'm probably going to be up in the morning, maybe tonight. I know Bob and Toby will be there this afternoon.
Great, sir.
And again, if anybody hasn't gone to natma.com/private coaching session, register there, but then give Bob a call or email me, StephenOliver@natma.com, or BobDDunn@natma.com to schedule an appointment. I'm not going to be able to do anything for a couple, probably till late next week or early the following week, but we'll get an appointment to really go through it. And what I really like to do is get as much information about the school as possible before we get on the phone. And we'll go from there. Well, thanks, everybody. And I remind you, go watch that video on the member site. Very useful, and all the performers in our circle. Make sure you've gone through the complete sales boot camp that we did over the summer so you're up to speed and everything else we're doing. Thanks, guys. Have a great finish to the year. Let's make November and December huge.